So in Parshas Bo, we have the last three of the Makos, right? Seven of the Makos were in Parshas Vayera. The last three are in Parshas Bo. In fact, the Parshas say there's even a remez that the word Bo El Paro, go to Paro. So the gematria of Beis and Aleph is three, as if to say there are three more Makos. And we know that Paro hardened his heart until the aftermath of Makas Bechoros. What happened was, though, before Makas Bechoros, there's a lot of stuff the Jewish people had to do. On Rosh Chodesh Nisan, they were commanded to take Korban Pesach and slaughter it on the 14th and eat it the night of the 15th. That's when we have our Seder. And at midnight of that very night, the firstborn of Mitzrayim died, and the next morning, well, actually, Paro came to them at midnight and said, get out of here, and Hashem said, don't leave until the crack of dawn. So the Korban Pesach was really literally the straw that broke the camel's back. That was the mitzvah that enabled the plague of the firstborn to take place, which in turn enabled Yetzias Mitzrayim. That was the mitzvah. Now, you know that before you could bring the Korban Pesach, you have to have Bris Milah. And according to Chazal, that's why we have a drasha, that although the Jewish people were on the 49th level of impurity, but it was the blood of Pesach and the blood of circumcision that enabled them to be redeemed. Right? This is a very well-known Chazal, in the merit of the blood of Pesach and in the merit of the blood of Milah, which came first, they were redeemed, because for the 210 years, most of the Jewish people did not practice circumcision, except for the tribe of Levi. But before we could bring the Korban Pesach, every person has to be circumcised. Not only, if you're uncircumcised, not only can you not eat the Korban Pesach, but if you have a child that is uncircumcised, you cannot eat the Korban Pesach. If you have a slave that is uncircumcised, a non-Jewish slave that you bought to circumcise him, you cannot eat the Korban Pesach, right? Yeah.
What if the child is under 7 years?
Oh, that's a very excellent question. So the Gemara actually discusses this in Maseches Yevamos. What if the child is not yet 8 days old? He was born 3 days before Pesach. Am I disabled from bringing a Korban Pesach? So the Gemara basically says, a child is not called an orel, he is not called an uncircumcised child until there's a mitzvah to circumcise him. And therefore, as a result, you can still eat the Korban Pesach. Now this raises an interesting question, though. What if the child is older than 8 days, but you cannot yet circumcise him because he's sick? Do I analogize that to being under 8 days and I could eat the Korban Pesach? Or do I say, once he's 8 days old, he has a shame of an arel, and I cannot. So, this is Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi actually learns that even if a child cannot be circumcised because of illness, once he is 8 days old, I could not eat the Korban Pesach. And even if you'll never be able to circumcise him, Rashi says, I cannot eat the Korban Pesach. But that's still different than under 8 days. Under 8 days. So that's a good question. Yeah.
What if you have a child over 13
who has Hepatitis S? Yes, so that's a good question, because the question basically becomes, once he's 13, that becomes his responsibility. It's no longer my responsibility. So for sure, he cannot eat the Korban Pesach. Would it be Ma'akev me? Again, that's an argument in the Gemara. I think we paskin, it's not Ma'akev me, but I'll double check it to be sure. This is called Milas Avadav Uzacharav. The Mila of your slaves and of your male children, Ma'akvaso, it's Ma'akev, it holds you back from eating the Korban Pesach. Now, and again, how do we know that in the merit of Pesach and circumcision we were redeemed? So here, there's a very beautiful nevuah in the prophet Yechezkel. Now, just for your general knowledge, Ezekiel, Yechezkel. When did Yechezkel live? So Yechezkel lived at the time of the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. In fact, Yechezkel and Yirmiyahu lived at the same time, unlike Isaiah, which was much earlier. The difference was, Yirmiyahu lived in Eretz Yisrael, and he was actually there when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Yechezkel already lived in Babylonia, because he went with the earlier exiles, I think we discussed this, 11 years before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So Yechezkel is kind of the prophet of the exile. In fact, the only one. Nevuah normally doesn't exist in Chutz Laaretz. This is very, very rare. And Yirmiyahu is the Navi of the Chorban in Eretz Yisrael itself. And one of Yechezkel's very beautiful prophecies from Hashem is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes the Jewish people in Mitzrayim as a foundling. A foundling means an abandoned baby that was thrown into the garbage, that nobody cared about. People just wanted the baby to die. And a benefactor found that baby and washed the baby from its filth and excrement and put the baby in beautiful clothes and swaddled it and fed it. Right? And that's what it says. Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim and took care of us. And then it ends with the idea that I found you bathing in your own blood, so to speak. And I said, by your blood you shall live. By your blood you shall live. So Chazal interpret this enigmatic prophecy as God is saying to the Jewish people that although you were like a filthy little baby and you were naked, meaning you had no commandments. In other words, literally it's saying the baby was naked. The drash is, you were naked from the mitzvos. Right, that's the drash. And God says, you will live by your blood. And Chazal interpret that to mean the blood of the Korban Pesach and the blood of the mitzvah of Bris Milah that preceded the Korban Pesach. And although we were at the 49th level of impurity, it was those two mitzvos that brought us over the top. That is why to this day, if you recall, look at a siddur, or you may remember from a bris, that when the baby is named and blessings are recited, so we actually quote this pasuk, and God said, by your blood you will live, because we're telling the baby, so to speak, that in the merit of Bris Milah, the covenant, Hashem gives us life and the relationship that he has with Am Yisrael. That's when they give the baby a little wine, right? The baby's crying. So when the Mo'el says, by your blood you shall live, he dips a little bit of gauze in the wine, sticks it in the baby's mouth, and the baby gets zonked for a while and doesn't complain. Okay, now, along with the Korban Pesach, God commanded that we eat other things with the Korban Pesach. We eat matzah, and we eat maror. The maror is a commemoration of slavery. Matzah, I want to talk about what matzah is, because there's some very simple problems, and difficult problems exactly. What is the symbolism of matzah? We know that the most outstanding law of Pesach, that everybody knows, is that for the 7 days of Pesach, and in Chutz La'aretz for 8 days, we are not allowed to eat chametz, leavened products that rise. We are commanded to eat matzah, but of course there's a difference. The prohibition of chametz is all 7 days. The obligation of eating matzah is only the Seder night. You are mechuyev min haTorah to eat matzah, and that can't be regular matzah. Even if it's kosher l'Pesach, that has to be matzah that is made specially for the mitzvah of the Seder. That is called matzah shemura. Now, if we ask ourselves, why do we eat matzah on Pesach? Why are we not allowed to eat chametz on Pesach? So, the truth of the matter is, the Haggadah itself gives two different reasons for matzah. In the beginning of the Seder, we lift up the matzah, and we say in Aramaic, Ha lachma anya, Diachalu afhasana biara de Mitzrayim. What does that mean? This is the bread of affliction, the bread of poverty that our forefathers ate in Egypt. Most Mefarshim explain that matzah is the type of food that would be fed to slaves. That if I had slaves, and I didn't want to waste a lot of money on food, but I wanted them to feel full so they wouldn't be hungry and they can keep on working. So matzah is a good idea. Because matzah sticks in your stomach a real long time. And you feel full. In fact, the Ibn Ezra writes, the Ibn Ezra, who was a world traveler, one of the Rishonim, says that he once went to India and he saw slaves being fed matzah. So according to the passage of Halachma Anya, eating matzah is the same significance really as eating maror. Eating maror is to remind us of the bitterness of slavery, and eating matzah reminds us of the affliction that our forefathers suffered in Mitzrayim. In other words, matzah is a slavery symbol, not a freedom symbol. And yet, later on in the Haggadah, and I'll go back to the Chumash itself, later on in the Haggadah, when Rabban Gamliel says in the Haggadah, anyone that doesn't explain three commandments does not fulfill his obligation. And the three commandments are, why do I eat the Korban Pesach? Why do I eat the matzah? Why do I eat the maror? And then the Haggadah gives an explanation for each thing. So if you look, the explanation it gives for matzah is a different explanation. Yeah.
Is it that one doesn't explain those commandments, or one doesn't just say those three words?
No, you have to explain. You have to explain. Yeah, that's why it goes on and explains.
So when you're in a Seder, and like generally people get other people to read, like each one reads the paragraph, you should be reading.
Well, you should, but that itself is not so much of a problem, because just like by Kiddush, I could be motzi you if you have kavanah, so I could say the words for you, but you have to understand what is being said. In fact, that part of the Haggadah is the most important part of the Haggadah, which is interesting, because it's right before people wash. So sometimes women in particular might be in the kitchen, they may not even be listening to that part of the Haggadah. That part of the Haggadah they have to either say or listen to. Now they could say it before, they could move ahead before they go into the kitchen or something. Now, what is the reason that's given for matzah? So the reason that's given, and again, I'll go back to how this is in the Chumash itself, is that when our forefathers were, when the Jewish people were making bread for the trip, they write, this is after the Seder, after the Korban Pesach. They'll be leaving the next morning. So they're baking bread to take for the trip. And when you make dough, you let it rise a little bit, 18 minutes, it becomes chametz, and then they were going to bake it. But there was no time. The Egyptians came in the middle of the bread baking process and said, get out of here now. And actually Hashem also said, get out of here now. We didn't have time to let the dough rise. We had to either bake it right away or bake it in the sun, but we didn't have time to let it rise. We had to leave that moment. That moment is called chipazon. Chipazon means in a great hurry, without preparation. And therefore, lo hispik b'tseikam shel avoseinu lahachmitz. There was no time for our dough to rise. And therefore, to commemorate the speediness, the alacrity, the suddenness through which we had to leave Mitzrayim, we eat the unleavened bread which didn't have time to rise. It doesn't take that long for it to rise. The rising is only 18 minutes or even less. We didn't even have time. Now, why didn't we have time? So the Gemara says, it's both reasons. The Egyptians were kicking us out, and Hashem said, you have to leave now, or you'll hit the 50th level, even with your Pesach and Milah. Now, according to that, matzah is not a commemoration of slavery. Matzah is a commemoration of the swiftness of the redemption, that we didn't have time to let our dough rise. So what's interesting is that some symbols are freedom symbols and some symbols are slavery symbols, and some symbols are both. For example, the four cups of wine, which is not a doraisa, that's a rabbinic thing anyway, but the four cups of wine is a celebration of freedom. Right? I'm toasting HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm free. So that's freedom. Bitter herbs, maror, is obviously slavery. What is matzah? Matzah has two reasons. There is the matzah that's the lechem oni, that's the bread of affliction. This is what our forefathers ate when they were slaves. And then there's the matzah that's the liberation bread that we had to leave without letting the dough rise. Now again, obviously in later generations, there are many other understandings of matzah. Matzah is humble, right? Because chametz is puffed up and arrogant. And matzah is flat. So matzah represents humility. All of that is true. But if we just go back to the original historical problem, the point I'm making is, I'll get back to the Chumash. But the Chumash is more important, ultimately. But even in the Haggadah of Pesach, you'll notice there are two different understandings that are given for matzah. There is, at the beginning of the Haggadah, matzah is described as lechem oni, and at the end of the Maggid, before the meal, it is described as the bread of redemption, the bread of liberation, the bread that shows how much of a rush Hashem was to take us out of Mitzrayim, because we couldn't wait. We would have hit the 50th level and the like.
Didn't we say earlier that the Egyptians started kicking us out, but Hashem said to wait until dawn?
Yep, that is correct. Hashem, now, but see, both is actually true. Meaning, Hashem said wait until dawn, but once it was dawn, in other words, obviously we were sinking, right? So Hashem calibrated it. Leave now, not in a minute from now. I told you to wait the whole night. But now you can't wait anymore.
So why can't we like bake bread right overnight?
Yeah, that's a very good question. I mean, because one would ask the question: the Jewish people did have the whole night, and they weren't going to leave until the dawn. So had they started baking their bread earlier, you know, before dawn, they could have had bread, and there wouldn't have been that need for the rush. But the answer is, you know, there was a lot to do that night. They had to do the Korban Pesach. You have to pack.
Chatzos.
Huh?
That would be all before Chatzos. So they had from Chatzos until Nates to...
Well, yeah, it is a good question.
Didn't
but again, you know, again, people had to pack. You know, it's not so easy. You know, you've been living in this place for 200 years. So you're getting out. You know, there's a lot of stuff to assemble. You know, it's hard for us to envision exactly with mothers and children, and so the bread baking was the last thing. But I want to raise a very simple historical question. That is, the implication of this story is, had they had the time, they would have made bread. They didn't have the time, so it became matzah, and we eat matzah to commemorate that they didn't have the time. But there's a problem with that. Because already, 2 weeks before, Rosh Chodesh Nisan is when they were commanded about the Korban Pesach. They were already commanded, eat matzah with the Korban Pesach and don't have chametz for 7 days. So the whole story seems backwards. You're telling me they were going to make bread, but it couldn't turn into bread because the Egyptians or Hashem said, get out. But had they started earlier, they could have made bread. What do you mean? They had to make matzah because they already were commanded. You see, they already were commanded, don't have chametz for 7 days. Now, why that command was given, we don't know. But you can't say... You see, you're going in circles. You're saying, Hashem commanded us to eat matzah and not chametz to commemorate the fact that we didn't have time to let it rise into bread. What do you mean we didn't have time? Since the commandment was given first, even if we had all the time in the world, we'd have to make it matzah. So in no way can matzah be symbolic of the haste of redemption. Because the reason it had to be matzah was not because of the haste of redemption, it was because God said, you're not allowed to have chametz. see the kasha. You can't even say the mitzvah was given because of the future, because once you have the mitzvah, the whole reason doesn't even apply anymore. So here the Ran says the following, and I'm going to have to read some psukim, maybe not today, maybe tomorrow I'll read some psukim to go over it in more detail. The Ran says there was a difference between the way Pesach was observed in Mitzrayim the first year, that first Pesach in Egypt, and the way Pesach would be observed every year after that. The first year, the Iser of Chametz was correlated to the Chiyuv of Matzah. By that we mean the Jewish people were commanded on that first night of Pesach to eat matzah and not have chametz. And that was a commandment that was given 2 weeks before. But they were allowed to have bread by the morning of the next morning. So even though the Seder night, in fact that would actually answer your question too, even though the Seder night they were not allowed to have chametz, and it had to be matzah, but in the morning they were permitted, because Pesach Mitzrayim, the Isser of chametz is only that first night. But since they had to be redeemed and didn't have time, so to commemorate the fact that although they would have made bread, but they couldn't, and it became matzah, the future Pesach have a rule that you don't eat the chametz for all 7 days. So now it actually fits. Meaning to say that both things are true. The commandment not to eat chametz and to eat matzah was given 2 weeks before, but that only applied to the Seder night. They were permitted to have bread the next morning. So they could have made bread if they wanted to. It didn't turn into bread because they were redeemed very quickly. So to commemorate the redemption of the hurriedness of the redemption, all future Pesachs are commemorated by not eating chametz and by eating matzah. And therefore, this is what the Ran says in Arbi Pesachim, and therefore it turns out that both reasons for matzah are true. Matzah, in fact you may then ask the question, why were they commanded to eat matzah the first night if the miracle of the redemption didn't happen yet? The answer is, the first night, matzah was a commemoration of slavery. It is only next year, the years after that, that matzah became symbolic of freedom. Now, what that would mean, therefore, is that the reason we eat matzah during the Seder is not for the same reason they ate matzah during their Seder. When they ate matzah in the first Seder, it had nothing to do with the dough didn't have time to rise, because that didn't happen till the next morning. When they ate matzah during the Seder, it was only a commemoration of slavery. That even though you're being liberated, remember that you were slaves. When we now eat matzah at our Seder, it incorporates both reasons. Lechem Oni, which was the original reason, and the idea that there was no time for the dough to rise. But you understand how the Ran puts all of this together. Now, the only big question, and again, this is important enough that I actually want to look at it inside, is if you look at the Chumash doesn't seem to say that. Because 2 weeks before, when they were given the commandment of the Korban Pesach, it already says, you shall not eat chametz for the entire 7 days. So how do you read into that, that for the first Pesach it was only the Seder night? So I'll show you tomorrow, we'll look at the Pesukim a little bit, how the Ran would understand those verses. But you know, it's an interesting thing. You know, these are things, I mean, it always never ceases to surprise, you know. This idea that matzah represents that we didn't have time to let the dough rise, everybody knows this, everybody's heard this. But Lefi Pshuto, it actually makes no sense because they were already commanded. And so how do you reconcile it? So you have to get into the difference between Pesach Mitzrayim, the Pesach of Egypt, and the Pesach of Doros, of the future Pesachs, and that requires the oral law, the Mishnah, and the Gemara. So again, this is a very, very excellent example among many that you really cannot understand the written psukim of the Torah without the Torah Shebaal Peh. Otherwise, even as a matter of logic, the psukim do not hang together that well. Okay, yeah.
What's the difference between the matzah that Avram ate and the matzah of Mitzrayim?
Yeah, so we would say this to say, oh, well, that's really another interesting question. If you remember, Avram served the angels matzah, and the tradition was that the angels were coming during Pesach time because Yitzchak was born next Pesach, etc. Or some say Rosh Hashanah, that's Machlokes, but the angels came on Pesach time. The angels came on Pesach, and Avram served matzah because Avram Avinu kept the whole Torah before it was given. Now, the question would be, he was trying to fulfill the mitzvah of matzah, but the question is, I mean, this is more of a general question. When you have a mitzvah whose significance is tied to a historical event, whether it be the slavery of Egypt, Lechemoni, or whether it be the redemption and the hurriedness, and that historical event is not going to happen for a few hundred years, is there a spiritual benefit in doing a mitzvah for a reason that has not yet materialized? I think that's part of what you're asking. And the short answer is that on a mystical level, mitzvos have infinite reasons. Remember, the Torah predated the creation of the world. Now, if the Torah predated the creation of the world, that would mean historical events are not what fuels the transcendental purpose of a mitzvah. You can't say, this is only a valid mitzvah because of this thing. Because if that would be true, it wouldn't be possible to talk about the holiness of the Torah predating the physical world. The answer is, Lefi Ar Madrega, we connect the mitzvah to the history, but the mitzvahs accomplish spiritual connections with the to Hashem that go even beyond the particular. So we have to say that Avram's matzah was the same as our matzah, but the meaning for Avram was not Lechem Oni or Lo Hispik B'Tzekem Lahachmetz. There were other reasons, and those other reasons apply to us as well, although we don't know them. But the only reason the Torah gives us is the Lechem Oni and the Lehispik B'Tzekem Lahachmas, right? Those are the two reasons the Torah gives. And by the way, when I say the Haggadah gives you two reasons, I want to point out the Chumash itself gives you two reasons. In Parshas Re'eh, which is in the book of Devarim, the Torah says, Shivas Yamim Tochal Matzos, for 7 days you shall eat matzah, which at least means don't eat chametz. Why? Lechem Oni, because it's the bread of affliction. Ki b'chipazon yatzasa mimitzrayim, and you were taken out of Egypt with hurriedness. So Ramban points out right away, this is not one reason, these are two reasons. The bread of affliction and the hurriedness of your departure. Two different reasons. Which means the first Seder, you only had one of those reasons, because the other reason didn't happen yet. Only the next morning did you get that other reason. So next year's Seder is going to have both reasons. But the first Seder only had the Lechem Oni reason. Now, this has some interesting implications. Maharal, I'll just leave you with this, a very, very fascinating chiddush of the Maharal. And this halacha is so interesting, I may spend much more time on it. But, you know, there is a rule that matzah, since matzah is called the bread of affliction, it has to be poor man's bread. Now, poor man's matzah, is only flour and water, no other ingredients. For example, there's a product called egg matzah. Egg matzah is matzah that's mixed with either egg yolk or wine or apple juice, chocolate, and it's easy to eat. It tastes good. It's kind of like a soft, for older people especially, it's very good to chew, or for children. But you're not yotzei in Seder night with egg matzah. And the reason is because the Torah describes matzah as the bread of affliction. And this is not called the bread of affliction, this is called the bread of wealth. In fact, it's called matzah ashira, rich matzah. Rich matzah is the opposite of poor matzah. And since matzah has to be lechem oni, you're not yotze with matzah ashira. Now, as an aside, I don't know how detailed I should get to you. Ashkenazim have a minag, we don't eat matzah ashira at all during Pesach, even on Chol HaMoed, meaning not only, the Gemara doesn't say that, the Gemara says you can't use matzah ashira for the Seder. You are allowed to eat matzah ashira not during the Seder. Ashkenazim, however, for various technical reasons, do not eat it at all during Pesach. Sfardim do. So that's why you will find. You will find in Eretz Yisrael, you will find something like, egg matzah products certified for Sfardim and not for Ashkenazim. Just like kidneys. Although this is not a problem with kidneys, this is a different problem. But kidneys, it'll say, this is kosher, liochle kidneys. This product is kosher for those who eat rice and corn. So similarly, matzah ashira will be given only Sephardic supervision. Okay, why that's so, we'll get to later. But the Maharal has a very interesting chiddush. Maharal says that if the only matzah I had was egg matzah, if I didn't have regular matzah, b'di'evet, I should eat the egg matzah for the Seder as well. And the logic is so compelling. Logic is beautiful. Because matzah has two ideas in it. It's lechem oni, a commemoration of slavery, but it's also the idea that it didn't rise. So when matzah ashir is no good, the Maharal says, it's no good because it doesn't cover the bread of poverty aspect. But it still didn't, even though it's rich and it has apple juice and egg yolk, it didn't rise into bread. So the Maharal says, since you're at least fulfilling one of the two ideas of matzah, it's better to eat it than not to eat it, because that way you are still fulfilling the matzah of redemption, even though you're not fulfilling the matzah of poverty. By contrast, the very first Seder, where the only thing the matzah represented was the matzah of poverty, because the matzah of redemption didn't happen till the morning, then, theoretically, if all you had was egg matzah that first Seder night, you would, that's a theoretical question, you would not have been yotze. Because matzah then was only one idea, and matzah ashira doesn't fulfill that idea. Yeah?
Just lemaisa for practical, if you, during Chol HaMoed, if you wash on regular matzah, can you then eat egg matzah during the meal?
Well, Ashkenazim don't. That's what I'm saying. Ashkenazim, not because of Hamot Brachas, Ashkenazim are choshesh that egg matzah might be chametz.
Okay.
Again, because the issue becomes when you add fruit juice to water, perhaps the fermentation accelerates. That's a chashash. Now, the truth of the matter is, you can see that not all Ashkenazim held that way, because I just told you the Maharal, who even talked about eating egg matzah during the Seder, the Maharal was Ashkenazi. So the Maharal himself did not hold of this halacha. But this is a chumrah of the Ramah. The Ramah does bring it. And that's why you'll find, if you go back to the States, you'll find a very interesting thing, that some egg matzah boxes have on the package, should only be eaten by children or the elderly, and should not be eaten. Right? It's because of the Ramah. Now, of course, in the olden days, the hashgachas, the matzah companies didn't want to put that on the box because people wouldn't buy it. It's like a cigarette. You know, if you buy these cigarettes, you'll get cancer. You know, companies don't want to put that on their product. You know, they have to. So, what one company did was an amazing thing. What one company did, I mean, it was unscrupulous, but it was smart. They just put in Hebrew letters, Ayin, Divrei HaRamah, Shulchan Aruch, Aruch Chaim. So, you see a bunch of Hebrew letters. So you figure it's probably another, you know, Heksher. But that Ramah says, don't eat this product. So they put in Hebrew letters a citation to the Shulchan Aruch that says, by the way, you're not supposed to eat this.
You could also say
Ayin Maharal. Right, Ayin Maharal, but they didn't. so, but Baruch Hashem, they corrected it a little bit, and now they actually say should only be eaten by the elderly or by children. But even the elderly and children cannot use it for the Seder unless you have the maral. The maral is a big chiddush. Not everybody paskens like it. And Sfardim, as they say, don't have a problem with egg matzah, but even Sfardim cannot be yotzei at the Seder, at least if there's other matzah. Okay, we'll stop here. Thank you.